I want to welcome everyone to the meeting tonight, and I appreciate your attendance and your time and spending with us. First order of business is roll call.
Commissioner Geary?
Is that here?
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Taggart?
Here.
Commissioner Christopher?
Here.
And Supervisor Couch? He's not here.
Thank you. We need to start with the summary of proceedings from last month. Any discussion? Any changes? Any mistakes?
No mistakes, Geary.
It looked perfect to me.
I make a motion to approve last month's July.
Well, it would be July, yeah.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Motion carried. Let's see, consent agenda. We had, I didn't read it. The correspondence of Alexis Sandoval and Hitchcock Rosa. Have those been taken care of? Okay. So, I'll receive them, but I hate to go ahead.
I'll make a motion to receive them.
Okay.
I will second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Public presentations. Also, as you know, if you have an electronic devices, please put them on mute or silent. And if you need to talk, please take it out in the hallway. Public presentations, this portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation, and you're limited to 2 minutes. Second row, anyone?
Can I present an assembly bill that we need to write in on? It's a good thing.
Talk about it, yeah. What are you going to talk about that's not on the agenda?
Well, that's different. We know it.
Yeah.
Joan Payton, 1-2. There are a couple assembly bills that are on Newsom's desk right now, and he has to vote on them by October 14th. I have his phone number here if anybody wants it. The first is Assembly Bill 1215-1215. It's basically, they call it Pets Assistance with Support Grant Program. It's for homeless shelters and domestic violence shelters, as far as pets are concerned. The grants would assist pets of individuals at risk of homelessness or domestic violence survivors and their pets when going to shelters. The other one is Assembly Bill 781, which requires the county to update emergency plan by July 4, 2024 to designate emergency shelters that are able to accommodate persons with pets. So both of them open up the door for a domestic violence person or somebody in a disaster to be able to leave their home and go to a shelter with their animal.
Thank you very much for bringing that to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. Anybody else on table two? Okay. Last table, anyone? Okay. Seeing none, we'll come back to the front table. I've already had staff announcements or reports. Director Coleman. Let's move right along here.
Good evening, everybody. Nick Collins, Director of Kern County Animal Services. Just want to touch on a few things. I won't go over the director's report entirely, but touch on a few key points. I wanted to start off with some really good news, which some of you may already know this, but let me just say, I have a meeting tomorrow in this building to meet with Kern County Construction Services to begin
the very early phase of designing a new Kern County animal shelter. Yeah, that's good news. And then after an initial meeting, we'll be heading over to the proposed site for the new shelter. And if anybody would like to see where the new site will be, just come in. I'll show you the map. That's really good development. I mean, if you've been coming to these meetings for a long time, it's something that we've been fighting for 10 years. You know, we operated at the Mount Vernon facility. That facility was undersized and antiquated, and you know, the city took over that facility, and we relocated at Fruitvale, and the Fruitvale site was never supposed to be the long-term home of animal services. I don't think any of us knew back then that it would be 10 years, but you know, it's been 10 years. It'll be 10 years in October. So all of our staff are just really ecstatic and happy and you know, optimistic. There's an estimate of about 3 to 4 years before something is completed. The county is moving really quickly. And I just, you know, I'm personally happy to see it. I mean, I keep telling people, well, I need to see a shovel in soil before I really start to move. But it's an incredible development for this community. It's an incredible development for the pets in this community, the volunteers and the staff at the animal shelter. And, you know, I hope that as we progress through this process, I can continue to come back to these commission meetings and give you all updates on the progress there. And second piece of good news is that we are waiting on a signature, but it would appear that we are very close to hiring a full-time veterinarian at the Kern County Animal Shelter. We have been negotiating with a veterinarian, and there's a contract, because they're a contractual employee. She's going to be a contractual employee, and so we're just waiting to see if she's going to agree to the terms. So it looks like it's going to be a reality, and that's a huge help for animal services in this community to bring on a permanent, you know, full-time chief of veterinary services. So that's another awesome development. Just to touch on a few things in the director's report, it's not in this report, but we had three straight months, June, July, and August, of eclipsing 500 adoptions out of the Kern County shelter. That does not get anywhere near the amount of animals that are coming in, but it's about a third of the animals that have come in the last three months are going out to adoption. So, I mean, that's strictly because of community interest and the volunteer support that we've had, especially recently. I mean, we have a lot of folks who are just coming out and walking dogs and taking dogs out on streets of Bakersfield and promoting those dogs. And, you know, and that social media aspect of shelter pets is, there's a compounding aspect to it, and the more they share those animals and highlight the animals in our care, the higher they're likely to be adopted, and they're just being marketed at a much better rate. And couldn't be more grateful for the volunteers that are really helping affect live outcomes on some of these animals. We had a busy month of August, which is a good thing. We had only two low-cost vaccine clinics, but we issued over 370 rabies vaccinations and almost 340 parvo-distemper vaccines. But we also started a new program, which I'll touch on here in a second, where we're giving out free microchips to the county residents. And so our first two clinics in doing that, we've issued 225 microchips to the community. We had two spay-neuter clinics in August, the 25th and the 29th. Between the two, we were able to provide for the spay-neutering of over 100 animals. The spay-neuter program has been increased. The spay-neuter funding has been increased by the county administrative office and the county board supervisors. We had $400,000 to operate low-income spay-neuter program last fiscal year. and it's been supplemented with another $100,000. So we're working with $500,000 in state aid funding this year. And we're hopeful that we can use that to affect the spay and neuter of about 5,500 animals this year, which includes feral cats, too. We're using it for feral cats as well. Unfortunately, we're still struggling with return owner reclaims, return to owners. Our intake obviously has skyrocketed since January 1st, and we're still only returning about 8% of all of the dogs that come into the shelter back to their owners. A lot of our resources and attention have been focused on trying to solve the equation of how we get people to come and reclaim their pets. So we tried some new things recently, some things that we should have done a long time ago. When we receive an animal that has identification, whether it be a microchip or a tag, we send a certified letter to the home letting those folks know that your animal's at the animal shelter and you need to come and get it. Two things. Number one, we weren't sending that letter in Spanish. So now we have a duplicated form that's Spanish on the back, English on the front. And number two, we changed the language on that letter because the letter was worded in such a way that, like, if you can't afford your dog, sorry. And we changed that. We said, listen, please come and get your dog. Your dog needs you to save its life, and we will work with you to whatever extent we can to make sure that your animal is home. So, we did that about a month ago. I haven't seen a measurable effect in it just yet, but we're trying everything we can to get people to come in and pick their pets. We did try something new in August, our Streets of Bakersfield program. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's like a doggy day out program. We usually run it every other Saturday. We invite the public to fill out an application, come into the shelter. Our staff usually prepares anywhere from 25 to 35 dogs that leave for the day. So when they say prepare, they're rabies vaccinating and microchipping those dogs in advance. And then the public can come out on that Saturday and they can take a dog out for the day. They come between 8 and 11 and return the dog before 3:30. And it's just so good for the animals. It's so good for the marketing of those animals, and it's good for the animals to leave the shelter just for a bit to decompress. And then when the community gets back with the pets, they fill out a report card. We capture all that information and we store it in the animal's file, and then we hang those report cards on the kennels too. We did something new in August. We tried doing it on Sundays. Because it works so well on Saturdays, we just want to see if we could expand to Sundays. And it's a somewhat of a resource-intensive program.